On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
We just thought, why don't we just call it the horny goat? Because we often, Brendan and I around the brewery will often say we're horny about certain things like hops and stuff that.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
What's going on, everybody? Matt Robinson here with you in our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. We're on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this one. Find all the archives at TallCanAudio.com. We are just days away from December 1st. We can see the finish line for this trash heap that is 2020. We are almost there, and I can only imagine, after everyone said 2019 sucked and 2020 was going to be awesome, the 2021 will be great. What could go wrong? We are smack dab in the middle of a global pandemic. What could be worse next year? I don't know, but I have a feeling we're going to find out. Just me here with you for the moment. We do have a terrific guest coming up in just a second, but first, as always... Ooh, that's a good one. That is a nice crack. And that is not just a sentence that you utter over at your local adult establishment. God rest the Bear Facts as we see what's about to happen here in Ottawa. Tonight we are sipping on the Druid's Dust Irish Red. I kind of like it. It's got like a spooky but also kind of picturesque feel to it. The Druid's Dust makes me think about like The Undertaker circa 1995 getting ready to fight like King Kong Bundy. Yes, I know Rob tells me I talk about wrestling too much on this podcast, but he's not here tonight. So I'll talk all the wrestling I want. Luckily for you, that's all the wrestling I want to talk tonight. So we will. This is, as I said, the Druid's Dust Irish Red from the Crooked Mile Brewing Company. And the Crooked Mile we've had before here, but not a lot of. It's far. It's far to Almont or wherever they're based. I know they're somewhere just west of the city. Had a chance today for the first time, and this is one of the things that is a little odd about the podcasting world, but to meet friend of the show, as she phrases it, occasional co-host of the show, Michaela Schreider. And we had a pint with her husband, Josh, down in my the parking lot behind my condo building. That's the first time I'd had a chance to meet either one of them. And one of the odd things about the podcasting world is sometimes you don't meet these people face to face until you've had several long, in-depth conversations with them in front of a large audience, like the one we're talking to right now. So that was kind of cool. I'd never met Michaela before, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, that... I'd heard her on the radio plenty of times. She has a great radio show on TSN 1200, and I'm sure it will return after the pandemic, but it's called That's What She Said. And I'd heard her on the radio plenty of times and thought she did a really nice job, and I had followed her on Twitter, all these sorts of things. And as the pandemic was dragging into the summer, I believe, I can't remember when it was she first came on. I think it was maybe June or July. I could be wrong on that, but we were already well into the pandemic. And she had just put out something on Twitter that said, I really miss my show. I need a place to vent about sports. And so just kind of being a wise ass, I commented underneath. I said, I know a place you can do that. You know, put the link to the show and whatever. And she responded right away. And yeah, I'm down. Let's go. And, you know, she's been on, I don't know, half a dozen times, probably a little more than that now at this point. I can't remember for sure. But that's all it's been. It's similar to Rob and I, right? We can't get in studio together. You know, we're taking this shit seriously that that the medical officials are suggesting that you don't gather and you don't do things indoors and whatever else. So Rob and I haven't been in studio together. Michaela and I haven't been in studio together. We did all of these remotely. Sorry, you'll have to forgive me. I'd been talking all this time. I hadn't had a chance to try the beer yet. Normally, you know, two people here or somebody on the other end online, at some point they're going to start to talk. And whether it's Rob or Michaela or anybody else, they like to talk. And so you can sit back and get a pull on your beer. And when it's just me, you got to make your own breaks. This is nice. Like I said, it's called the Druid's Dust Irish Red. It's not an overpowering red, but very enjoyable. It's almost got something, I don't know what I'd call it, like sweet would be too strong of a word or of a descriptor, but something like that. Just towards the end, it's got just like this final little tinge as it goes, as it exits your mouth and down your gullet towards your ever-increasing fat beer belly. It leaves you with just this kind of sweet. Just a little bit of sweet. That's what we're going to call it. It's wrong, but that's what we're going to call it because I'm not great at these things. So today was the first time we'd had a chance to meet. And we traded off a couple of beers in either direction. And she left, obviously, some stuff from out in her neck of the woods. And so that's where this comes from, is from that exchange today. And we hung out and kind of like a couple of cake-eating high school kids. The three of us had a pint in the back parking lot. And at some point, somebody asked the question correctly, are we allowed to be drinking back here? Well, you're not allowed to be indoors with people. The bars are closed. Quite frankly, you'd like to think if anybody walked by and questioned you about it, they would admire your willingness to stick to the bylaws and social distance and drink outside. So we went out for an hour or so, had a beer together. And that was kind of cool, but that's where this comes from. I can tell you that you will be hearing more from Michaela. She's going to stick around. She's going to be on the show, and she's got herself one of these advent calendars. So we'll be talking about that as well. And that brings me to today's guest. One of our favorites, a guy who's been on the show several times now. I'm going to be talking to Andy Nita from the Nita Beer Company, which you already know because you clicked on the episode. You know what you're listening to. Those who've been around for a long time know that Rob and I have enjoyed the product coming out of the Nita Beer Company for quite a while, long before we got to know Andy. But Andy was one of our first guests on the show back in October 2017. And if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks as we were talking about all our Grey Cup memories through this non-CFL year, the Nita Beer Company sponsored our Grey Cup coverage in 2017 and provided beers for us and our guests as we did shows every night of Grey Cup week that week. I'm saying the word week a lot. It's all right. Andy was the first one. He came in on the Monday night, had a few pints with us, talked about the brewery, the industry, all these sorts of things. And from there, you know, that he's somebody we've stayed in touch with and we like hearing about the brewery. We like the product. We like his take. He gets the vibe of the show, and so he's someone that we had on again last year just before the advent calendar started to talk about it and how it came together. And, you know, Andy was terrific there, and like I said, he fits in with Rob and I quite nicely. He's someone who just wants to sit back, have a pint, and shoot the shit, and I wanted badly to have him back in studio this year before the calendar. And it just wasn't possible. You all know what's happening. And we waited and waited and waited. And we would hope, or we hoped that the count would go down, cases would go down. And instead, they've been going in the complete opposite direction. And it became obvious We just weren't going to be able to do it in person. We weren't going to be able to have Andy in studio with Rob and myself. Rob and I haven't been in studio together in months, so we weren't going to be able to do it with guests either. So I reached out, asked Andy if he'd be willing to do it on the phone, and because he's a good guy, he made a little time for us here tonight, and that's what you're going to hear next. Really happy to talk to him about the calendar, about the industry, about what COVID has done to the craft beer industry and some of the misconceptions out there. There's a lot of people who think, myself included, that this has been a boom for the craft beer industry. Everyone suddenly wants to support local and the delivery thing has shot up and all these sorts of things. Maybe not the case, we learn in this industry. And maybe it hasn't crushed the industry, but maybe it hasn't been the boom that we thought it might have been, or at least that I thought it might have been. Rob and I have had this conversation a couple times. I've had it with other people as well, that it sure seems like when you go to a lot of your local craft breweries' websites, a lot of the options are sold out. And I attributed that to the delivery thing. And we get into it in this discussion. I'll ask him about, you know, the delivery thing and whether it's helped or hurt. And you got to balance that with the drop in restaurants and bars that these guys are selling to and the demand. Even if those places stayed open, they have far less customers, if any at all. But in most jurisdictions, it's been slashed, the number of people that you're allowed to have if you're open at all, 50% or tables 6 feet apart. That changes the dynamic of a bar in a hurry, and it changes how much beer they're going to order. It changes how much booze they're going to order, and that, of course, affects your local breweries. So any increase that comes from the delivery side of things residentially is counterbalanced by the drop in what they're selling to the bars and restaurants in the area, right? So really interesting conversation with Andy. Really good guy and a friend of the show. Really glad he made some time for us. Just before we get to that, one final pull on the Druid's Dust Irish Red from the Crooked Mile Brewing Company. Yeah. I'm sticking with sweet. That's what we're going with. It's a nice beer. You wouldn't say that it's overpoweringly sweet, but for an Irish red, I'm getting a little bit of sweet from it. Really like this one. This is a solid, I will absolutely try this again. If I can ever get out as far as Almond, like it's far, further than Rob. I always say Rob's out in the boonies, just in Canada. Almond, man, it's that much further, but no, this is a great beer from the Crooked Mile. Like I said, Druid's Dust Irish Red, if you're wanting to check it out for yourself. We're going to get to Andy here in just a second. He has delivered the advent calendars. I have one. Rob has one. Michaela has one, as well as several other friends of the show. And so certainly as we move through December, if you have one yourself, or if you're just interested in getting takes on local craft beers, you will be hearing plenty about them. You can follow along certainly with your own or just with notes maybe you want to take of beers you'd like to try for yourself after hearing about them. That starts on December 1st, Tuesday. So right around the corner, and we'll be getting into these advent calendars that we do every year. Thanks, as always, to the Nita Beer Company for having come up with the idea. As I said on our Instagram the other day, which is at Talkan Audio, if you want to follow along for yourself, you should. This is one of my favorite things that we do on the show every year, is the calendar. 24 beers over 24 days. When you're trying to come up with new beers to try on every show, this is a godsend. They just drop right in your lap. It's perfect. It's fun. It's this adult advent calendar thing. It is in the truest sense of the term. You don't know what you're going to find day to day. It's terrific. So thanks as always to them for having put it together. Let's not wait any longer. Andy Nita from the Nita Beer Company is on the Tall Can Audio podcast right now. Pleased to be welcoming back to the show, longtime friend of the show of the Nita Beer Company, Chief Beer Officer, it's Andy Nita. How are you doing today?
Good, Matthew. How about yourself?
We're doing all right here. This is normally one of our favorite shows of the year to do. You've been in a couple of years in a row now to talk about the calendar and the industry. Obviously, the pandemic has put a halt to that. We can't get any guests in here. I wonder, just in a general sense, what kind of impact it's had on you guys.
What was you know, it was interesting at the beginning of the pandemic. We saw a fairly huge surge in support from the local economy. For about a month and a half, which was nice because that that helped us manage the decline in all our restaurant sales. So we had about 60 restaurants that we would do business with. And I mean, now, after two rounds of, you know, lockdown or restricted occupancies for restaurants and, and other businesses, I think we've got about 8 active restaurants.
Wow.
That we're able to do business with. So it was quite the decline in what was going on with the restaurants. And now I would say, I mean, we had about a month and a half, like of really interesting sales just locally, but it's gone flat now. So, I mean, for the last, you know, a few months since then, I mean, it's, I won't complain because I mean, there's a lot of businesses that are obviously challenged or have gone out of business. We're happy just to, you know, still be operating. And, you know, if this is a year of poor sales, but we can stay out of the red, then I mean, this will be a good year.
Yeah. What do you make of that? Then the early surge is something that I was just talking to somebody earlier today about, that it seems like I've probably drank more craft in the last 8 months than maybe ever in my life, partly because I wanted to support local and partly because, you know, they were delivering and it was convenient. And what do you make of the fact that there was this huge surge and then that it kind of leveled off? The circumstances haven't really changed much. I know some people are tired of the pandemic, but it's not really finished with us.
I think the action to, let's say, that huge surge in sales was probably one of panic.
Right.
same deal like with toilet paper. Like it's...
got my beer and my toilet paper.
Yeah, we're good. I don't have to leave my house anymore. but I think that, you know, now that people know that, you know, alcohol has been, you know, identified as an essential service, I don't think there's such a sense of urgency to stockpile for fear that it won't be available.
Right.
Like I said, when our sales are flat, I mean, we're not looking at any, significant growth over last year. And yeah, we lost our restaurant partners, but now because we're doing sales direct to consumers, it's a little bit better because there's a better margin therefore. So it sounds like I'm complaining. I'm not complaining.
Right.
I mean, as long as people, you know, continue to support all the local businesses that are still operating, you know, they're buying direct from the micro producers. I mean, all the micro producers will do well, I think.
You guys had done some nice work inside your brewery in terms of making it kind of a cool place to hang out. Obviously, that would have been something that was affected. I saw that over the summer you tried to set up a little bit of a patio area. How did that work, and what other adjustments maybe have you had to make over the course of this?
You know, you're constantly making adjustments because, you know, we saw over the, you know, last 8-9 months that, you know, your responsibility as a business owner keeps shifting. So yeah, we created a little outdoor patio and we kind of snuck that one past the goalie. You know, initially our landlord said no patios anywhere. You know, at the very early onset of the whole COVID crisis, the owners, it was an independent company, sold the building to a large shareholding company. Because, you know, there lots was going on and they weren't really paying attention to what any of the tenants were doing. Mm-hmm. I just said, you know, I doubt that they're going to, you know, cause a big fuss if I, you know, build a little shanty, you know, patio in the back. Because we had to try and find a way to, you know, especially with the nicer weather, try and find a way to allow people to come to the brewery. Not just, you know, for our, you know, be able to do sales, like the sales for people coming to the brewery, you know, are not our moneymaker. But I think for us, and I think for the people that wanted to come to the brewery, it was better for our mental health.
Sure. You know,
it was nice, even if, you know, we're serving and socializing at a distance. I think it was nice just as being humans to actually have conversations with people you know, so beyond the technology side of the way that, you know, we ended up having to do it through Zoom and stuff.
Yeah. Did you, obviously early on, it would have been the case. Have you found that you're doing a lot more residential delivery this year?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, we were fortunately able to what's the fancy word, pivot?
Sure.
Everybody's pivoting.
Yes.
We pivoted pretty fast. I mean, we pay attention to what's happening in the news, you know, and, I mean, over the weekend before the announcement on Monday that shut everything down for the first round, because we were already using a Shopify platform, which was enormously flexible, Bridget, my wife, had said, you know, we better find a way to, capture these orders and find a way to be able to deliver them in the most efficient way possible. And, you know, over the weekend, she found an app, integrated it into our POS, and we were live on Sunday to start taking orders.
Wow.
Online and executing on that Monday to start to delivering, you know, to people's homes locally in Ottawa. And it was quite a seamless transition for us. Bridget did a phenomenal job, and we're still using that app now. It was definitely beneficial for the advent calendar, because we were probably doing, what, 60, 70 deliveries a day locally just to get the calendar out there. And, you know, we with the app, that really helped us optimize, you know, our routes, that you could get a delivery down, you know, from stop to stop in about 8 minutes.
Hmm.
You know, so with two drivers going, it was a very efficient and cost effective way of doing it.
That's a quick pivot, I guess, is the word we're using. What did it do to the brewing process, if anything, in terms of maybe number of beers that maybe you would have experimented this year, or supply chain issues? Did you have any issues like that?
No, it's, I mean, it was, even despite the whole aluminum crisis that Trump had created with the phantom tariffs that, yes, never materialized. It's, you know, a lot of people were asking us then too, like, you're having supply chain issues with cans, and did we see any pricing issues? I mean, so the whole pandemic, I mean, you know, all our cans were fairly readily available. And we saw zero change in the cost for packaging. The one place we saw keg inventory, I mean, there was no place to sell it because your restaurants were down.
Right.
So we converted all of our inventory from keg to can fairly swiftly, like within that first week. And then we started helping other breweries do the same that didn't have canning systems. So, yeah, supply wasn't a big issue for us. We noticed in the summer we had to, you know, put in a little bit of a longer lead time to get cans.
Right.
But that is typical of, I think, of any summer. So, yeah, we didn't have many issues. And in terms of brewing new beers, we, because the process became a bit more streamlined in packaging, because canning is a whole lot faster than trying to put it into other things like bottles or kegs.
Sure.
We found that if we did a lot of production Monday, Tuesday, you know, and just going straight to can on our packaging side, we were finding we were having a little bit more time to do other things. So we played with a couple of pilots. We got some things in the pipeline. We did create some new beers. I think the other thing too, because we were restricted in terms of people's access to the brewery, you know, a lot of time that we would spend, you know, socializing or, you know, doing sales work with people that come into the brewery, we didn't have to do that. So we were finding we were all this new time was now available to us. So we thought that, you know, you take advantage of that, you know, do some more pilots, create some more beers, do upgrades around the brewery for when the pandemic kind of, you know, is in check and that we're able to sort of open up the brewery again.
I want to obviously ask you a little bit about this year's calendar, because it's obviously grown over the last couple of years. When you were on last year, you had expanded it out a little bit more towards Toronto and Kingston and some of the corridor, and said you were trying to get a little closer to home and family back in Hamilton. What does this year's look like? Is it still kind of a province-wide deal? I've seen the box, but I haven't wanted to peek yet. What can we expect in this year's calendar in terms of geography? Let's start there.
So in terms of the geography, yeah, we've gone as far as distribution to Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Very early in November, we did our first, actually, it was probably about mid-November. I'm sorry. We did our first drop to the beer stores, which were pretty sizable deliveries for all the partners at the beer store. But what we'd found is that is once we were live online, like the surge for demand was huge, and you know, we went to a lot of our you know, brewery partners and said, let's do 1,500 with the hopes that maybe we could do 2,000. And the beer stores started calling and saying, we need more beer, and we were like, I think we're sold out. So it was a pretty quick sellout. Obviously, I think it's growing. It's becoming, you know, fairly popular. I think people like the concept of, you know, one beer now from, you know, every brewery except us. We take two slots.
Yeah.
But you know, we put it together, so we'll.
I think that's fair. Yeah, exactly.
we'll be selfish about that. It's amazing how quickly this has gotten attention. And I've been snooping around on some websites and. You know, some people claiming that, you know, this is the best advent calendar that they found. And I was like, well, I'll take that. But I don't know if that's true yet. I think we still, it's the product's in its infancy. We do get a lot of feedback. And there's some things that we'd like to try to improve on for next year. But it's pretty wild. I mean, we have a wait list of over 500 people right
now.
Oh,
wow.
You know, it's, so we put it on, we just said to people, like, we're not sure if we can get any more, but we put up a wait list and that exploded. And, you know, so we said, there's no way we can get any more. I reached out to some breweries and said, the ones that I thought would probably be the limit, or the bottleneck to future production on this year's calendar. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they had expressed that, you know, we can get you maybe two or three cases. More, but the beer is gone, and we decided that, you know, to run around and try and get especially our, you know, Hamilton, Toronto, Kingston partners to get us, you know, two or three more cases, you know, and try and coordinate all of that. We probably wouldn't be able to pull it together before December 1st, and it would be a lot of a headache, you know, for a few more boxes. So I think we have to plan bigger for next year.
So when you were on last year, you were saying at the time that you thought you were on pace for, I think the first year, what did you say, was around 900? And
900, I think last year, I don't remember the numbers last year. I don't think we hit 1,500 last year.
Yeah, you were, at the time you were on, you were expecting to be kind of in that neighborhood, maybe just shy of 1,500. And this year, with an eye on 2,000, but asking for 1,500, were you worried going into it because of the circumstances around this year that demand might be down, or the opposite, that maybe people be looking for maybe to A, drink their problems away, and B, something cool to look forward to?
I think I wasn't worried about selling out or not selling out. I thought that that this would be a product that you know, if available, people are going to buy it. It doesn't matter what the situation is politically or socially or even pandemically in the world. I think COVID, you know, forces us to stay home. I think this is the kind of the perfect, you know, adventure in a box that you can share with, you know, people in your bubble, in your home. Right. Mm-hmm. And, it's the great talking points. I mean, it's a fun activity, and I knew that we wouldn't have a problem selling it.
I know, I mentioned this last year when you were on, but like, my dad's one of those guys that when you text him, you get like an okay back, or a yes, or a one word answer of some kind, except for during December, where we get these going and he suddenly got lots to talk about, right? We go back and forth texting about our beer of the day and what we got going on. And I think over the years, this has grown even here. I bought two, I think, the first year, one for me and him. And then last year we were up to four as a couple more people wanted in on it. And now I think this year between the five I got here and then Rob's, that our TCA group is up to six. I can see, you know, that obviously this is something that people hear about. I've seen it in my own family and friend group, right? The people, that's cool. I'm getting in on that next year. How big do you think this can continue to get next year and in years to come?
My wife and I were talking about that, you know, a few hours before, you know, we started to hear, you know, this phone interview. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we would ever really want to go past 5,000.
Right.
I think when you do that, I think it's going to have to become a calendar that's not so much craft focused, because when you look at a lot of the participating breweries, like, 2,500 cans is a stress on their brewery.
Yeah.
5,000 is, it's going to require them to do a fair amount of planning in their brew schedule. But I think for next year, we're going to try and hit 2,500. And like I said, that's going to reveal, how much of a challenge that will be for breweries my size. Cause I mean, 2,500 cans is like a full batch.
Yeah.
So it's in, especially, as you're trying to grow your business to try and get other SKUs available in beer stores and LCBOs and grocery. Right. So if you have popular brands, how are you going to fit in something that's supposed to be unique only to the calendar so that, you're creating the best possible experience for the people, purchasing the calendars. So I think there's going to be a cap on it. I think 5,000 might be the realistic cap. Mm-hmm. If we try to continue to do what we've always been doing is always, try and get beers that you can't get anywhere else other than from those breweries, to also get those breweries to, really show off, this is what we do, and
right.
Get people excited to get to those breweries as soon as we're allowed back into those breweries. If we're not yet allowed to.
Well, there's something to be said for it being hard to find too, right? That supply and demand. And if it's hard to get your hands on, people want it and people are more anxious for it. It makes it feel that much more special too, right? It's kind of like Leafs tickets, right? If anyone can get them, then they're not that special. But you feel, hey, I got my hands on one this year. This is pretty cool. It's something a little bit different in that regard too, right? Like, just makes it feel a little more exclusive.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a really fun experience, and I think that when the feedback we're getting already from people who've just bought this for the first time that are starting to peek at what's under the leaves of the box lids there. They're like, this is pretty exciting. And they're like, we want to do this again next year. So, I mean, we'll always have a really good base. I think this year out of 1500 units, we've only had about three people. Like, we have three emails that we're figuring out how do we respond to them, that they're saying, oh, this is a disappointment because there's not enough artwork on the box. And, we want to punch a hole right through the front and, pull out the beer can. I get that. I mean, it's some people, are more about the box, the presentation, aren't really concerned about the content of the beer inside, right? And we talked about that. Is this something possible? Is this something we can do? But in the current way that we assemble these boxes, we couldn't do that because it was right up until 2 weeks before we had to start assembling these boxes, we had pulled all the breweries together.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking in terms of lead time for artwork and printing, it's not going to happen. But we thought maybe this year, going into the new year, we start, tail end of February, early March, start talking to breweries and saying, we really want to try and find a way to pull this together so it's more organized and not, we're operating from the seat of our pants trying to get this thing assembled, right? So maybe then we can move towards, I wouldn't do a full box art. I think it's wasteful, mm-hmm. but I would like to get to a point where, we do punch out a square on the top of a closed box.
Sure.
So there's less temptation to open it up and look in. And then you pull out your can or bottle, depending on, where we go with this, and address that. Cause I think that would be, really makes it that Advent feel. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the other challenge is not a lot of people have room for a full,
I don't
case of beer in their fridge.
No,
so.
Most people don't. You're right. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was
going to so it's the thing, like, you have three kind of, people that give you some genuine feedback that's, not positive, I see a 1500 units sold. So
right.
How seriously should we take it? I think you want to take everybody's feedback, you know, and figure out, is it something that you want to manage in future iterations of the calendar?
What was your, I think the last time that you were on with us was the first time that you had partnered with the beer store to do the calendar. And obviously you're doing it again, and they were calling asking for more of them. So it was a positive experience, and you're back working with them again. How long, you know, afterwards did you know that that had gone well and that that was something they'd be willing to work with you guys on again?
Well, most of the calendars that get delivered to the beer stores, especially when we leave the Ottawa area, it's something I personally do because I like to take the trip back to Hamilton because of family and friends along the way.
Sure.
That I get some great feedback, great conversations with a lot of the beer store staff. And they're all just delighted that this product exists because there's nothing like this in Ontario.
No,
I don't think there's anything like this in North America where you're actually getting 23 craft breweries all putting in unique product. Like, there's lots of competition out there, right? That that can definitely kill the price of ours like by 50%. But what you're looking at is a very fancy box. But a lot of imported beers at low price point,
right?
Or you're getting a lot of large commercial brewery beers or contract brewed beers that are produced at such volume and are readily available through multiple channels that it doesn't really make it that unique a product. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, I mean, it's a very, very unique product. The people in the industry, the beer store, staff and managers think this thing's amazing. And, you know, the first year that we did this, they were like, this is pretty expensive. But, my attitude's always been, it's like, if you had to drive to every one of these breweries to get these cans of beer, yeah, the money you'd spend in hotels and gas,
yeah,
I would say buy two and you're saving money. Wow. You know, so.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's really, if people love craft beer, I mean, we had a guy who's a regular customer of ours at the brewery, and he sent me a picture of 7 cases of the calendar at a beer store on Carling. Mm-hmm. And then he showed me a picture of the pile disappeared. He goes, I bought all those. Like, so it's a very unique product, and it has its audience. And I think that the more that we're able to sort of advertise or create awareness, that the better it will sell. But like I said, it's one of those things that I think once it gets too big, it's going to become less craft. So we're very careful to, like I said, we're going to put a ceiling on it at some point and say that only so many and only for those that deserve it.
Well, I think that's funny you say that, because I think I play Star Wars. I think the first email I got, it was like the 1st of October or something. And I think that day I booked mine because I just had a feeling like it's going to keep growing. I don't want to be one of these people, I guess, waitlisted or whatever. Right? So you get this feeling that it is expanding and becoming harder and harder to get your hands on. Did you get an earlier start on it this year because of the demand increasing and the amount of work that goes into it? Or did this look a lot like the last couple of years?
I'm trying to think back to when we did this last year and the timeline. I think we started pre-sales the same time we did last. I think we wanted to start those right at the beginning of August. I think that was about the same. The one thing I noticed that was different is it was a little bit of a slow start. And I think that I suspect that was because we didn't get the same amount of initial pickup from some of the usual suspects in terms of social media or local media or television. But as soon as the Toronto Star, they called us out of the blue, and I was like, I'm not going to lie, I was so drunk when they called. I'm trying to field an interview, and I'm sure I was just...
So
nonsense,
it's not just us that gets that version of Andy.
No. I got shanghaied. I didn't know they were coming after me. Anyway, I gave an interview, and then she sent me, the nice woman that wrote the article, sent me an email later that evening and said, if you got some time, could you send me a little bit more information? I think it was a nice way of her saying something coherent when you're sober. But, you know, and it, as soon as the article went up, it then things just really exploded. And it basically, whatever inventory we had evaporated.
Wow.
And we're just like, from that point, we were just fielding, you know, apologies, and we're sold out, and, you know, waitlisting everybody. So, but we have come up with a product, you know, we've put together a 12 pack, sorry, a 10 pack.
Mm-hmm.
That just went online today. It's 10 of our beers, and they're all different. So, you know, 10 separate brands, two glasses and two coasters. And hopefully that it's a solution for those people who are disappointed that they couldn't get a 2-4. We've priced it pretty competitively so that, you know, people can, you know, obviously there's more access to that product, and they're all great beers that, in fact, I'm on to my fourth one.
Nice.
I'm drinking the samples I brought home for the photo in my light box today. So, I'm doing that now, but,
well, tell us about it. Which one are you into?
I'm into the Bijou now.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. I'm drinking that one.
I think that was Christmas Eve a year ago or 2 years ago in the calendar.
It was, yeah,
that's right. So.
Yeah, and that beer's evolved a little bit. I still love the style. The only thing that's changed for us is we've always been kind of switching out the hops. And what was interesting, so this last batch of Bijou, which I think has probably been, now it's my favorite, we ran out of cashmere hop. And I was like, well, we need to put something in because we're right in the middle of brewing. And we ended up using a hop called Gargoyle, which was a hop we used exclusively for house brands that we brewed for Algonquin College in Prime Burger.
Oh, wow.
Because both these guys are down. Like, we're sitting on these hops. Like, what do we do with it? And based on the characters of Gargoyle, not so different. Like, obviously, it's different than Cashmere, but we thought it might be a good fit. And it's turned out to be fantastic. I love it. So I've been crushing a lot of those. I'm pretty stoked about that.
Tell me about the horny donkey that I've been seeing on the website. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. Tell me about that one.
Oh, the horny goat.
The horny goat. Sorry, that's my mistake.
So the goat series, we came out with that one. The only reason we named it the goat was Tom Brady was in it was about 3 years ago we came out with this beer. He would have been in his a Super Bowl. Was it 4 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's in it almost every year.
Yeah. And he was claiming to be the greatest of all time.
Okay.
And as he does, right?
Yeah.
And so this was the goat has always been kind of our foray into like the New England style IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was a Patriot, you know, it made sense that why don't we associate that with what he's up to?
Sure.
I'm not as conceited as him, but I'll tell you, we make some pretty damn good beer. We thought we would, you know, have some fun with that and just call it the goat. So it's part of the whole goat series of IPAs, but, I don't know if you've ever been down to Elgin Beer Project. The owner, Scotty Johnson, is always up in my grill about, oh, you need to have funnier names. Your names are boring. So we just thought, why don't we just call it the Horny Goat? Because we often, Brendan and I around the brewery will often say we're horny about certain things like hops and stuff that. And this was a pretty, you know, awesome sort of trifecta of hops, you know, and we were pretty horny about them. So we thought this definitely has to be a goat beer, and we'll just call it horny goat. E is for Eddie. So like, it's Horn Eddie Goat.
Okay.
And
like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. You know, and so originally we're pretty stoked, and it was a real small, like a 400 liter batch that we did. And we've just ordered more grains and some more really exotic hops to tweak it just a bit more to get it to, I think, where we want that beer to be and kind of settle out maybe for a little while.
One of the other ones I want to ask you about, because it's very controversial around here. When I tell people it's a coconut beer, you know, one of my favorites is Mr. Brown Has Gone Coconuts. Have you been tinkering with it a little bit? It tastes a little bit different than it did in the early years of me trying it.
Yeah, we had, you know, it's, so when we first made that beer, We used to just add an extract to it after it had fermented and it was in the bright tank and card. We'd blend in a coconut extract. And I always felt like that was kind of like a dirty secret of the brewery. And it just felt like a cheap way to do it. And we started experimenting with, similar to dry hopping, infusing coconut flavor into the beer using real coconut. So we do use three different types of coconut. It's all just shredded, and it's either raw or it's, what do you call it? It's toasted to some degree.
Okay.
And by doing that, I personally I would never drink the coconut before this. And now that we've taken more of a natural approach to making it, I kind of find it more pleasant. It's less assertive coconut.
I've noticed that. It feels just a little bit scaled back.
But I find it has a more natural flavor to it.
Yep,
but
it does.
It's funny. We've had a few people that had been diehard coconut fans, and when we made the change, these people are buying it by the case.
Wow!
Like they're drinking it like it's water. And we had this one woman come back, and she'd had like three cans out of it, and she's like, "I'd like to return this case because it's just not coconutty enough for me." And I was like, "I'll tell you, let me refund you the whole case." Mm-hmm. And, and I explained to her what we were doing. And she's like, "I prefer it with the artificial flavor." Wow. And I said, "Well," I said, "that's not something I'm comfortable doing because it's just, I feel so cheap, when I do it." I didn't say that.
No.
It cheapens me. It cheapens the brewery.
It's not worse. It's just a little different. And I noticed it right away there's something just a little... just a little different, but I didn't obviously know what the difference was. But that's when I come into the brewery or when I place an order, that's always I throw a couple of those onto the end of it because it's never something that I want to sit down and have like six of at a time, but it's absolutely something that I want to have one of almost every hot summer afternoon. And you can just tell that it's just a little bit of a change. And I think your wording of it that it tastes a little more natural. I wouldn't have put my thumb on that, but now that you say that, you go, yeah, that's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah, it keeps my kids pretty occupied because we've got several trees in the back with coconuts on them. Okay. And they'll harvest them, and they it's local coconut.
It's a family business for sure. Everybody's got to contribute. Yeah. Right? So
we're the local Ottawa coconut farmer, 365. You got to see the size of the greenhouse in my yard.
Tell me, as we circle back around to the calendar, then is there anything different about this year's that we should know, or a change of focus or a progression in the days, anything like that that has changed from previous years?
I think it's still pretty standard in terms of, that each day each day we've got a new beer from a new brewery, with the exception of, Nita, pulling first and last.
Love that.
Position.
Yep.
We did switch up a couple of the breweries, and it's like every year we put out a request for participation. Some breweries that were in it last year didn't respond, and we kept saying, "Hey, do you want to be part of this?" And we're not sure why some breweries didn't want to participate, but we pulled in some new breweries. I love. And I'll be honest with you, I've only just started drinking some of the beers out of the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I haven't had a lot of time, and we wanted to make sure we had enough beer.
Right.
we weren't going to just start drinking it on the floor as we're packing it. But, I started with a lot of the dark ones. And I'm pretty stoked with some of the newer breweries that are part of this, with some of their contributions. So I haven't had a beer that... I'm disappointed that they're participating so far, but I've never had that. I think the biggest challenge we've always had is if we're working with smaller micro producers, sometimes is their packaging equipment. Like we will always get leaky seams, and we had one brewery that you know, their number is up to 32 cans that we had to swap out. And, cause the seams are leaking. Right. And it's, you know, it's that's just the charm of craft, right. Is some of these small micro producers just trying to figure out, like, I make great beer, but, you know, it's they're mechanically, they're not, you know, so in tune with the operation or maintenance or, you know, of their equipment. Right. So,
how to, you know, we get it smoothly into someone's face.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is always, one of my favorite things that we get to do on this show every year. Now it's quickly become a thing, and it's a godsend for our show where we like to try something different every episode. So, you know, our participation continues to grow, and we're happy to have it again. Normally we get to do this with you in person, but obviously circumstances don't allow. Hopefully that doesn't continue for much long. We can get you back in for a couple more beers in person.
Yeah. As soon as this, you know, the, we can congregate again, socialize. I don't know if you noticed when you visited the brewery. Now I've got curtains that will improve sound dampening.
Oh, we've talked a couple times about doing something in the brewery. That'd be fun.
Get you and Rob down there, and we'll unlimited supply of alcohol. And
that's dangerous.
That'd be good.
Last year you brought a couple of those Percy Mapletons, and you didn't tell us until after the fact that they were 7 or 8% or whatever it was, and everybody walked out of the studio with a bit of a wobble. So it's a fun time.
It was good. We've got actually these aren't in the calendar. We've got a new I wouldn't say Imperial Stout because it's just coming in around 8%, right? So it's I would say it's more of like a North American Stout,
okay?
Because they usually run higher alcohol. Mm-hmm. We've got that coming out later this week, which will be a lot of fun. It's going to go into like a mixed six pack that we're pumping into the beer stores in the following week,
okay?
And I've got about 400 liters of a peach sour that's been aging. I'm deciding whether or not to add vanilla to it to give it more of a creamsicle sort of taste. So we'll see what happens with that. But we got some fun new stuff coming out. Like I said, the new Horny Goat's going in late this week. Should be ready in 3 weeks. So yeah, we're still mucking around and trying to get into shenanigans. So we should have some big alcohol beers for you to get you all fuzzy.
Yeah, perfect. And I'm all about the stout, so I may have to intercept a few of those before they get out to those mixed packs that you're talking about. But I can't wait to try that. This has been a lot of fun, Andy. I appreciate you making a little bit of time. I know this is like the craziest time. Well, let me ask you, starting December 1st, I know the brewery's still up and running or whatever, but what do you occupy your time with for that first week or two after these are all distributed? And it has to feel like there's a huge weight off your chest.
Oh, yeah. Going for a few more runs, doing a fair bit of fat biking.
Okay, the beer tax.
There'll be some drinking.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not diving into anything too deep right now. I'm just, I think this week I'll be just goofing off a lot, and I'll let the staff carry the weight of responsibility of operating a brewery for a bit.
I think that's fair. I think you've earned that. That's Andy Nita from the Nita Beer Company. Tell us quickly where people can find the brewery and where we can find you guys online on social media.
We're at 190 Colonnade Road, Unit 17 in Ottawa, Ontario, and www.nitabeer.com online. And we're obviously on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter. Check us out and just follow and see what kind of shenanigans we're getting up to and what great beers are coming down the pipeline.
There's always new stuff, and we will share all those links in the show notes here wherever you're listening, and they'll be at tallcanaudio.com as well if you need to check back. Andy, as always, we appreciate your time. We're glad you did this again for us. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Matthew.
We are on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We hope you will subscribe wherever you're listening to this. We'll catch you on the next TallCanAudio.
It is over!
Now that's a tasty beverage.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.